And as John Bunyan and Martin Luther says, we are saved by righteousness outside of ourselves. I'm saved by someone else and what they have done and only done, Jesus only. Or of course, we learn that once the wonderful truths of justification and righteousness imputed here, we find that there's a great transforming work to be done in the life of the believer. And now God is not imputing righteousness, justification, but imparting righteousness and working in the believer's heart to be obedient. If you walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. Justification and then sanctification. And so it reads on. 3, for what does the scripture say? Now we're going back to Genesis 15:6. I won't turn to it. Abraham believed God and it was accounted or credited or counted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. David also had this experience of imputation and was accepted by God. God justifies the ungodly. Now, the devil is hopping mad about that. Here is a God who sees an ungodly person and he makes a verdict. I pronounce you righteous in my sight. Judaism and Christianity says you can only pronounce somebody righteous who's living righteous. And then finally, it will be confirmed on the day of judgment. But here through the gospel, God pronounces the verdict not guilty and imputes the righteousness of God on the ungodly. How and why? By what Jesus has done on the cross? Completely. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. And then by faith I embrace that. And immediately I do that, God's Holy Spirit comes into my life and begins to renovate and to turn me into a person who desires to follow him. It says something very blessed, we'll close with this, something very blessed about Abraham. Let me read that verse there, Genesis 26:4-5, and then I'll have mercy on you and close down this session. Genesis 26:4-5. Now we just read the verse from Genesis 15:6. Incidentally, that's the first written gospel verse in the Bible. Yeah. I often say to my students over the years, look, let's go back to the first century now. You're in the first century with a church. We haven't got the New Testament. It hasn't been written yet. Can you lead a Jewish person to Christ through the Old Testament scriptures? That's the task I gave them. How can you lead a Jewish person to Christ only with the Old Testament scriptures? Paul never saw a copy of the Gospel of John. He died in AD 67. That was written in AD 95. He never saw a copy of that. I mean, we use the Gospel of John. Praise the Lord. Yeah. What did the early church do? They went to the Old Testament and found Christ. What's Paul doing here? Went to the Old Testament and found the way of salvation. Abraham and David, there they are. By faith, by grace, alone. But here's an interesting word regarding Abraham, and I will close. Genesis 26:3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Of course he did. But how did he get righteousness imputed to him? Was it his faith plus all the commandments that he kept? No. Abraham had acceptance with God by believing what God had said. And what followed after that? A life of obedience to the Lord's commandments and his word. The ground of acceptance with God is for the New Testament believer by grace and by faith. So this is why we have plus nothing. I remember a dear brother, I will close with this, I'm closing my notes up. I remember a dear servant of God says, let's illustrate it this way, the oceans of the world are the righteousness of God. The oceans of the world represent the righteousness of God. And we're down on the seashore, and somebody's walking to the seashore, and they've got a cup. And they're going down to the seashore. And someone says, What's in that? They said, This is my obedience. This is my works. This is what I've done for God. And I'm going to pour it into the ocean. And I'll be safe. What do you think about that one? Hopeless. An insult to God. Adding my righteousness to the righteousness that God gives to me and imputes to me. In my bank book would not be able to contain all the noughts to describe the riches that are in Christ. And I don't want to insult God by saying, I'll add some of mine in. It's plus nothing. That was Israel's trouble. But praise the Lord, as the end time comes, will thou look to him whom they pierced. That's when that revelation of the cross comes. Thank you for your patience. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and this morning. Just write these words in our hearts, we do pray. Give us understanding, so that we may have a burden to pray and a willingness to do.